Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk One-on-One with You podcast. I'm D-Love, and it's always a pleasure to share with those of you who stream our podcast. I hope that you've been blessed, inspired with lots of love and laughter, and that you will continue to listen and share with all your family and friends. That's right. Now, guys, I know you two have been feeling a bit strange these days, you know, as we continue to prepare for better days ahead of us. But one thing I do know is that we are all in this together, okay? And we gotta get through it together, you know, one peaceful day at a time. So come on, guys, let's just make this happen, which is why I want to introduce my next guest on the show. I am so excited. This lady is so awesome, okay? Professional life coach, singer, songwriter, humanitarian, and, of course, my favorite. I love beauty consultant. I am an esthetician, and I love beauty. Anything that's just deal with makeup and skincare, I love it. Corey Josias, she's based in the UK. Guys, we're going to have fun today. We're going to talk about relationships. Corey is a professional life coach. She's been through this. She has a lot to offer. She's highly impressive, and I am so impressed to have her as our special guest on the show today. Corey, can you hear me?
I can, Dee. Hi. Thank you so much for such a lovely introduction. And I love what you say about one peaceful day at a time. Really amazing.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
What an amazing woman you are for bringing that message to people, because actually this is a real time of going inward and you know, meeting our neighbors and getting to know people and seeing who we can help, who's in our immediate environment. It's funny, I'm calling from London, but there you go.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Hey, I'm always excited to have great guests on the show, and you, and as we spoke previously about just sharing our background and everything, you know, I'm all about light, and I think life is about life. And so anybody, I like your caption, magic maker, light chaser, dream creator. That is so phenomenal. That is so phenomenal, because it says that you do have life in you. And from your profile, I see that you do a lot. So I just want to start off by saying thank you for being my very special guest on the show. I am so humble and honored, because, you know, you're such a busy woman, and you do not have to be with us today, but I want you to know that you are welcome all the time, and we're going to have to do a whole new show on skincare, okay?
Okay.
We're going to talk about our mind. We're going to talk about skincare. We're going to talk about wellness and health and how to keep getting our beauty on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But in the meantime, it's really good to talk about the fundamentals as well, isn't it? Because let's face it, this is easier for some and harder for others, what we're going through right now. And any way that, you know, I can support people in just creating a better life or a happier interior world, you know, because that's what it's all about. If you can change the inside, the outside follows. And that may seem like a bold claim, but I really believe it to be true. If you're in any doubt about that, then just try it, you know. You never know what you can achieve. So.
Absolutely. Well, Corey, now tell us a little bit about yourself, because I'm looking at you talk about your divorce. You are divorced. Divorce coach, and you are a life coach, I mean, et cetera, and you also do a lot of humanitarian-type volunteer work. And so just kind of give us an idea of who you are and, you know, what it, in terms, like someone who would be interested in, you know, because we hear a lot about life coach, right?
Right.
I know that
right.
when we look at that term, we say, okay, what, there's a lot of people, like myself, I know from my background or understanding, life coach, any of us can be a life coach in someone's life by making a difference, but tell us about Corey Josiah.
Okay, so my story is because I'm not young, I'm 63, but I guarantee, so if there's anyone out there who's like in their 30s and 40s and saying they're too tired, I say to you, look, let's hop on a call and let's have a conversation here because, you know, I've done a lot of stuff in my life and it really is about energy. And so what life coaches do, in addition to helping people find their goals, define them, give them direction, they also keep you accountable. But anyway, to tell you my story, I kind of fell into the coaching scene because I started life in the music industry. I was a professional singer. In fact, I did tour. I did go to Minneapolis once in my life. I toured the world, and I had a really good career for about 15 years, touring, session work, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, kind of a C-list celebrity, I would say. Really good gigs, really well-paid gigs, but nothing that was going to sustain me for the rest of my life. I then transitioned. I could see that there was a need for people to work with deaf kids. And that came about purely by meeting a deaf guy. He was kind of cute, so I wanted to learn sign language, so I did. I just thought, well,
right.
I want to learn sign language, so I'm going to learn sign language. And then I went into schools because I realized that people there needed help, and then I could see they weren't getting what they needed, so I retrained as a teacher of the deaf, which I still do in an advisory capacity 2 days a week here in London in the poorest local authority in the UK. So the poorest, I don't know what, you know, you wouldn't call it a state, but like, you know, the poorest area in the UK. And that's kind of rewarding, very challenging. I got married. I had two kids. I met my husband purely through fluke, friend of a friend. And for the first 10 years, I think things went kind of okay. But I began to realize that the dynamic in our relationship was very unbalanced. And I think, you know, he's a good man. I'm not going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
say he's a bad guy. But I think that what can happen with women is that when we give our lives in the service of children or other people, your husband, it's a great thing to do. But if you lose yourself in the process, it gets to feel icky. And eventually it was getting so icky that I couldn't stand it anymore. I did everything. We went to couples counselors. I went for private psychotherapy. We went to parenting people. We did tons and tons of stuff. But it didn't. We just couldn't work it through because there was an unbalanced power dynamic. And it was basically, you know, he was the boss. And you can hear from my voice, I'm not the sort of person
right.
who's easily pushed around. But
exactly.
I was allowing myself, and this is the key point, I was allowing myself to become that person, and I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I had the wisdom to pull myself out of it. I started to look around me and see that there were other people who needed help. I also had a leadership responsibility in a local organization, so I had a lot of experience working with people, and I thought, you know, I can really help people with this issue because I've been there. I've been through
right.
the sorting out the finances. I've been through the he's in charge. I've been through the downgrading of my own career. I've been through all this stuff. I've been through, I know women who've been through domestic violence. I've seen them go through it. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to create a divorce group. And I did,
mm-hmm.
and it was between Christmas and New Year, and 20 people turned up. This is just
wow.
from putting a post on Meetup. 20 people turned up just from a free advertising on Meetup. And I thought, you know what, Corey, you could do this. You could really help some people. And I started holding groups. And then I thought, you know, there are people here with really individual problems. I had done a coaching course in the meantime, and I figured, you know, after 10 years of psychotherapy, six different couple counselors, coaching, going through my own divorce, going through the lawyer thing, paying ridiculous amounts of money to go through a divorce, I mean, unnecessary,
mm-hmm.
really,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
still coming out the other side, maybe mm-hmm. not with the deal that I wanted. I really didn't want to see other people go through. They say there's an expression that the cart overturned on the road ahead is a warning to the one behind. So
mm-hmm.
don't let my story be someone else's story if I can help them navigate this, because it is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce is tough
mm-hmm.
and painful
Definitely.
For most people. I know, Dee, you have a different story, but... Yeah,
I do,
actually.
You know, and the thing is, and that's why I enjoy talking about this subject matter, life, relationships, communication, all those things that are so necessary and vital to our success as being human beings. And sometimes, and like you mentioned earlier, you did, I don't want to talk bad. It's not that you're talking bad about anyone.
No, no.
It's that you are telling your story from your perspective, and that's okay. The most important thing here is that you're taking that experience and you've formed groups. I mean, this stuff is not easy. So I commend you for taking that step to share with others to help bring them to a better light in life. And so, you know, when we talk, mine was different because I'm more, you know, I think personalities play a role into a lot of relationships, as we know. I grew up with my dad. I grew up with, you know, unfortunately, May is very sensitive for me because both of my parents are born in May. I'm born in May, and we got Memorial Day, we got Mother's Day, we got Father's Day coming up, you know. So, but I was fortunate to come from a family that gave me a lot of love and attention and earlier on and poured a lot into me as a child and as a kid. And although it worked for me. So I'm one of those people, live and let live, let's walk away, let's be peaceful. I understand people change. So for me, I knew that my marriage to my ex-husband, same with you, wasn't, in my opinion, there were things that I just, you know, we grew up together. We've known each other since we were 5 years old. We lived in the same neighborhoods. All that was good, and I thought that I actually knew him in that manner because we were young. However, he was, you know, if I had to grade him, I would give him a 80%, you know what I mean? Because he was very good to me, he respected me, and I would not have it any other way. And because my dad loved me enough to where it showed me that I didn't, you know, I have to love myself first. So that's why it was easy for me. I was ready to move on. I was ready, but I lived in a family that was very religious. You don't give divorces, et cetera, et cetera. And not only that, you do try to make it work. But I feel that sometimes things are not meant to be, and we have to learn to move on. And that's why there's so much violence. And I have to say that, unfortunately, being D-Love, I am a product, although I had two wonderful parents, I am a product of domestic violence. My mother and my father fought all the time.
Wow, wow.
They did. They just could not get along, but they loved us. And it's pretty unfortunate because they were very good parents. They were very talented people. They had a lot going on. But from what I see now, being the spiritual person that I am, I think that, you know, God allows things for a reason. We don't understand why. But I do thank them for what they did do early on to shape me into the person that I am today, and that was lots of prayer, lots of love, lots of communication, lots of laughs. So that is who I am, and that is what I bring to my program. So, like, give you a little background. I started the podcast 6 years ago because, now, this was a relationship that I really wanted, okay? Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to. I really wanted to be with this person, and we were talking about getting married, and it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, okay, well, okay, I'm the type of person. I'm like, I'm going to take a bad situation, I'm going to turn it into good, okay? And that's what I've always done all my life. So I said, well, you know what, let me start my podcast. Let me, because I'm always advising and consulting and, you know, just keeping it positive and good vibes. And so I thought, well, let me do this, because deep down I was very angry, I was very hurt, I was very upset, but I knew I wasn't going to go out and kill somebody over it. You know what I mean? Even though I had reasons to feel that way. But that's where the wholeness of the whole subject of mental illness come up, because a lot of times people do snap, people do have issues, and people have problems moving on, some worse than others. So for you to be able to do what you do to help others, because it is tragic that we have this going on. And so, were you, and like yourself, there's a lot of, you know, people, and there's guys too. It works both ways, you know. Breaking up is very hard to do, but at the same time, I believe that if we trust in God and we let Him lead our lives, then He will bring that. See, I've learned that. I was married for 20 years of my life. My ex, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but he really did not want the divorce, you know. So, and I can respect that. But, hey, you know, we were able to work it out amicably. Thank God he was all up there, you see what I'm saying? So, and learn how to move on, and that was a good thing. But divorce is hard, but I think there is always life beyond divorce, and that's why I'm here with you today, so that we can share in dialogue and we can help people to kind of dissect and understand this thing we call life. So, now I notice in your groups, do you offer online? Because you saying that, like, you said whether you're interested in group or individual sessions, get in touch for a free clarity call. What is that? Explain. Is that something where, like,
say, if I have a clarity call, just means let's have a conversation. Let's see if I'm a fit for you and you're a fit for me, because I want to work with people who really benefit from what I have to offer them, and I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and not everyone's going to be my cup of tea, and that's cool. So
Corey,
way you're going to find that out.
I'm a good judge of character. Let me interject for a minute. I want to say this before I forget. I think you are an awesome person. I don't know you from Adam, in a sense. Okay, but I'm a pretty good judge of character, and I think that you have a lot of passion. You're absolutely right. Different strokes from different folks. But
here's the thing. Here's the thing, Dee. I'm quite a straight talker, so that's not going to be to everyone's taste, and that's okay.
True.
It means that they may not, and I'm not cruel, and I'm not judgmental. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell someone, look, you know, this is, you might need to look at this a little bit differently, and not everyone's in a place where they're quite ready for that.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of what I mean when I say a clarity call. It's like, how does this feel to you to have a conversation with me? Does it feel good? Do you feel clearer after the call? And if you do, then let's work together.
Right. Well, I'm excited. Can't you tell? I won't even let you talk. Look at this. I'm looking at whether you are interested in group or individual sessions. Get in touch for a free clarity call. I'm a talker. I like to communicate. I just told you that, right? I understand what clarity is. I just wanted you to just give our audience or our listeners just an idea. But you know what? I think that's good to be able to have someone to call and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm going through. Somebody to just bounce off your frustrations, maybe, you know, you're having some anxieties, or maybe you're going through a divorce, everything's breaking down. We hear, especially with everything that's going on in our country
right now. Well, it could
right
also
now.
Be a relationship
yeah.
that you could, it could also be something that you could solve with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't just work with people going through divorces. I go through, I help people stay in their relationship too.
Absolutely.
But it's having the outside perspective to be able to, you know, look at something honestly as an outsider and say, okay, like, can I give you a classic example?
Mm-hmm.
Substance abuse, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If someone in the relationship, if there's substance abuse going on and you're trying to sort out the relationship, but your partner is an addict or something like that, mm-hmm. right? How's that going to go? How do you think that's going to go? And
not
you might,
very well.
If they're willing to clean up their act, that's great, and you can support them in that. But if they're not,
mm-hmm.
where is that going, and how long do you want to wait? And really, that's the other person. You know, that's your decision,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's an example of you can love someone with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
but know that it's not going to work out because they're not taking responsibility for their life, and that's a terribly
mm-hmm.
hard, terribly hard situation. So, you know, that's one example of many, many examples. But I have had couples come on the phone where one of them is doing that, and the other, the woman is saying, but you go out with your mates, this is English speak here, you go out with your mates and get drunk every night,
yeah.
you know, and then you wonder why she doesn't want to have sex with you when you come in and drool all over you. Sorry if I'm being really upfront here, but, you know, so you have the conversation, and the guy is sitting there, and he's a bit embarrassed, and you say, look, I can see you're embarrassed. I really get that, but this is so important. I can see by the way you look at her that you really love her. Is this
mm-hmm.
worth changing? You know, and I have had really good results. It's like an intervention, so... There's all
so
kinds
then
of...
answer me this question, Corey, because I know and speak, and maybe I'm speaking from the fact that I have more boys than I have girls. Now,
so do I.
I have three boys and one girl. So I can see both sides, being a woman and seeing from a guy perspective, because I would want nothing but the best for my boys, a good woman
yep.
who is not going to dog my son out. So... can we say that maybe just from, I'm speaking from experience, that we have to grow up, we have to understand, we have to love ourselves enough to
100%.
Know that we, you know, but, and I had to learn from experience. These are things that we learn from experience that we get to, like me, myself, I've always been cautious about and conscientious about my relationships. I've had long-term marriage, few long-term relationships, and that's what I'm, because I want something that's wholesome, and I think if we put everything up front and say, hey, this is who I am, allow people to see who we are up front, and also pay attention to those signs and understand that we have to be very careful when choose. I've always been that way because I don't, you know, relation, these things, as we see all across our country and things that are going on with just all around us, that, you know, people, they just cannot break up. And then when, you know, you say, hey, well, you weren't like that when I started dating you. You know, you changed. And so that's something I have always wanted to put myself up front. Hey, I don't deal with this. I don't deal with that. Just go ahead and weed out the bad people already, okay? I don't deal with this. I don't tolerate this. This is what I enjoy doing. Allow people to see who you are first. You can learn a lot about someone by just getting to know who they are. And if you pay attention to the way, their perspective, if you will, and the way they view lives, you can definitely gather just kind of, you get what I'm saying, or do that make sense? Eva?
I do, but, you know, here's the thing, Dee. You're absolutely right. But I, and this is a very personal view as a woman, and maybe it applies to men, but I do think it applies more to women. We are taught, even before we're conscious that we're being taught, and it's through modeling, that, you know, it's, you know, a kind of, it's, and look, I don't want to come across like a raging feminist. I do think
I'm a woman.
Guys who open the door for me and all that.
Right. Absolutely.
But I, somewhere in my upbringing, I thought I had to become a specific person to please my partner. And so the real me gets hidden in service of wanting to find a guy. And I don't think that's an uncommon story. So you're absolutely right. Self-actualization is the primary, the most basic level that I believe all people, men and women, should be thinking about before they get into a long-term relationship. But we don't, because we're humans, and that isn't isn't the way that isn't something we get taught in school. Like, why don't we get taught that in school?
We should not get taught that in school, though. I think it starts at home. See, it gets starts at home, and the what's taught at home.
For sure, but you can't blame. But your parents did what they did, like, because they didn't know any better.
That is true, but the school is not they're responsible in a respect that they're teaching your child to be academically, I guess, successful. But when it comes to, like, home training and self-love and understanding about life and, you know, I think, don't get me wrong, I do believe other outside, you know, sources that our children engage in are responsible for their behaviors and how they represent themselves and the examples they set before our children. Don't get me wrong for that. What I'm saying is that we as parents have that duty and responsibility to raise our children, to love our children, to not just be the best. We're not perfect. I know I wasn't. I know I was not perfect, but I was a great mother because I loved my children. You wouldn't know it by the way they act, but I loved them. I cared for them. No, seriously, I fed them. I protected them. They went to school every day. And I did my part as a parent. And I think when we do that, you know, sometimes, but with the relationship, say if you take a child and like, you know, who grows up in a family who argues all the time, or just the family front was just totally dysfunctional, okay, or halfway dysfunctional, or maybe there was just some things that were going on that affected that child, whatever the case may be. If this person doesn't meet someone like yourself or someone who's willing to, that's why when you say you're direct, I'm direct. Because sometimes we state what we feel and we state our perspective on how we view life. Doesn't make me right, wrong, or indifferent. It's our belief system and what has gotten us through life. So, but getting back to the kids, when we teach them how to love themselves so that when they do get to school, when that bully comes at them, they will have enough self-esteem to not allow that and not allow someone to tear down their character. See, these things, these characteristics and traits should be taught at home. Now, that's just my little two-bit sense.
Well, you know, I think you're right, but here's the thing. If I told you my mother is someone who, you know, she grew up in World War II in Germany, she withstood a war, she moved to America, she spoke five languages fluently. She learned loads of stuff. She, on the face of it, was in charge of the household. She gave me lots of love, but nevertheless, you know, she made some mistakes, as all parents do.
Absolutely.
And somehow the message translated as, you better be a good girl, Corey, which isn't the same as you're already great, now thrive. Yeah? So she didn't do that on purpose. She was a product of her upbringing, and so it goes, because modeling is much more powerful than what we tell our kids. And
you're
so,
absolutely right. And one thing I want to mention real quick is just so how you know, I think I'm on point with you 100% because
I know you are.
Yes, because here's the deal. It's like we can raise our children. We can do everything. Sometimes it is our responsibility to do all those things that I mentioned, but it doesn't mean that your child or your kid is going, and we see this with all the examples around us, you know, where we've seen successful people and parents, but yet their kids just turn out not so great. You see what I'm saying? They're just sitting, waiting, you know, for just trying to milk their parents or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Not trying. And then you got those kids that say, hey, I want to be like my parent because my dad took care of us and my mom was there for us and they nurtured us or whatever else. But does it always mean that your kid and your child will, you can do everything right. It doesn't guarantee their success in life. It doesn't. In my opinion, what guarantees their success, we bring them into this world, but they ultimately belong to God. And God, because once we let them go, we have to leave. They're going to, my children, I was so strict. I did not want them around anybody, literally. Literally, because I was working 100% to keep them 100% pure. And hey, they still went. I pray for them every day, but they come, Mama, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. My kids were raised as adults. I mean, I was just there, you know. But they didn't do everything, just like I didn't do everything. Trust me. If I had to listen to my parents, I think I would be even a much happier person today. I think I would. But no, you're on point. I think you've got a lot to because when you've been through it and you've lived it, and even you've taken the initiative to say, I want to help transform someone else's pain. Well, tell me this. Do you mind sharing, like, what was it, something that you instigated on your divorce, or do you mind talking about, is that something you?
I don't mind talking about it at all. I mean, we were married for 20 years. We had a nice life. But I knew for about the last 10 years of, we were married for 20 years. I knew for about the last 10 years that there were some things that he really didn't get. So one of them is that I am a musician, first and foremost. And I used to do things like, you know, I would spend a day writing music with my co-writing partner. And he would be like, well, why are you doing that? As if it was like, as if it was wrong in some way. And anyone who's a creative will know that when that's part of your life and you don't do it, you're not feeling whole. You're not feeling good. So there was that.
But it was who you are before you married him, though. So there was that.
There was the fact that, like you, I'm a very spiritual person, although from a different tradition, but very, very spiritual. And he didn't really like that. That was threatening to him in some way, and I had a leadership responsibility, and he would start doing things like dictating who could and couldn't come over. So I'd have friends visiting from the States, really old friends, and I'd say, would you mind if they stayed at the house? And he just wouldn't have any of it. So it became very restrictive, and I sought guidance about it. I really searched my soul, and finally in 2014, I sought the guidance of a senior leader in my organization, and she said, look, you know, you need to pray about this. Set yourself a date and make the decision by that date. The date was the 23rd of April, 2014. I rigorously challenged myself to find the answers and to really know for certain, because this is a decision I'd been struggling with for years. So as you can tell, I'm not someone who takes these things lightly at all. I really wanted it to work. I mean, I really, really wanted it to work.
20 years is a long time, girl. You, to me,
five years is too long. I really did my best.
Shoot.
Right.
5 years is too long. 2 years is too long. If it ain't working, shit, don't put, excuse me, my bad.
Yeah, I know.
Don't
okay.
Put
so
yourself
I,
in the situation.
But I thought it was something in me, you see. And I really do believe in self-reflection, and I do believe in taking responsibility. So I kept saying, where am I responsible? And finally, I realized that the way that I was responsible was by not standing up for myself. It wasn't because it was something I needed to change about. And you might think I'm stupid that it took me that long.
No, I don't think so.
No, I
do not.
Family.
I don't think you're stupid, because what you're saying right now is real. What you are explaining and expressing and telling your story, these are real feelings. And so I can definitely identify, empathize, and sympathize with you, because I'm not going to say that I've not walked in your shoes, just in a different path. You know, just took a different little twist to it. But I definitely understand, because sometimes we've all been nurtured differently. You know what I mean? So we're going
to
react
to finish that. Just to finish the story, I woke up on the 23rd of April still not knowing. I sat down to do my prayers, and it was 6:30 in the morning. I'll never forget it. And this message came through loud and clear, and the message was, you have to stand alone. And the reason, the thing I had been resisting was, number one, the idea of loneliness, and number two, the idea of financial hardship. And that those were the things that kept me stuck where I was. And I know, like I know, that someone out there listening right now is going through exactly those questions, right?
She said,
so
I know. You got a little singing going on.
Pardon?
I said, yeah, you said, I know there's somebody up there. And I said, it's kind of like you said, you're doing like a little jingle there, singing. I get you. I get
you. Yeah, I know, like I know. And the thing is, it's life on the other side is so much better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And
totally
that's the other thing that's so important to hear, because it's a scary decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary decision, especially after 20 years, and especially at the age of 57. Most people wouldn't bother, right?
You better know
most
it. Amen.
Most people would say, pardon?
I said, amen. You're right. You're absolutely right. And you know what, and to add to your point, don't get me wrong, my ex-husband, he did not want to see me go, and I remember him telling me, so I get what you're saying. He was like, oh, you will never make it. But here's what he failed to realize. I was already making the family. I was already working two jobs and doing everything.
Yeah.
So how can you say that? And then after 5 or 6 years went by, he goes, I thought you were going to come back to me. I thought you would. Well, keep in mind, we were about 21, 22 years into the game. So, yeah. And trust me, there were some years, I have to be transparent about this. You know, I loved him. I respected him. I've always respected. That's a whole nother story I can talk to you in private about. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I respected him because I believe when you give respect, you get respect. You're following the love language and the law of the universe. So I had a duty to do right unto him. But guess what? I still end up having to be a shoulder for him to lean on, because we go way back. He will always be just like a friend. I don't think I can ever hate him. I would never want to be back with him again. I knew he wasn't for me 2 years into the relationship. I knew that because he wasn't as progressive for me as, because I want someone who looks like my father. You see what I'm saying? My dad was progressive. Mm-hmm. So that's my little personal issue right there, okay? But at the same time, no, here's my personality. I can be happy with, if I'm not happy, I'm not going to be in a situation that keeps me unhappy. I'm going to be making moves to move. I'm going to be making move to move forward because I want everybody happy. And sometimes that's why when you choose someone, you have to make hopefully and pray that you don't, you know, you choose someone that is mentally healthy, you know, someone who can actually just not go berserk, you know, because the bills are, you know, we see a lot of things going on today. And so you're absolutely right. Just being single sometimes is beautiful because you don't have the drama. You don't have you don't have to deal with the emotional up and downs unless you have two people who are disciplined in their thinking, love the Lord. This is just my little two-bit personal opinion, you know, that make a relationship work. Because, you know, one thing I can say about my ex-husband is that he allowed me to be who I was. And that's why we stayed together so long, you know. So,
the other thing that you mentioned, which I think is really important, is the R word, respect. So people place a really high value on love when they get into a relationship.
Amen.
But what about respect? What about, you know, really trusting that the other person has your back and you have theirs and respecting them as they are, not as you want them to be.
Amen.
That's really
and you know
the
what?
Fundamental thing of love. It's not whether you feel butterflies in your stomach, which I hope you do. But if the respect isn't there, them butterflies ain't going to last forever.
Amen. And not only that, you have to stay true to who you are. And that's why I can respect you for saying, hey, and listen, I, or anyone for that matter who says, listen, you know what, I am a singer, I'm a songwriter, I have to be who I am. I can't live my life vicariously through you. I think that's where the unhealthiness comes into part because there's too much clinginess going on. You have to allow people to be who they are, like you said. And so, but who would not want to be married to someone who sings to them? Tell me about that. What have you been singing all your life? Or I noticed you said that you're a live singer and you do studio sessions, you've sung in large groups. That is so fun.
Yeah, I had a great career. I mostly do songwriting now. I don't really do much singing, but I had the good fortune to tour with various artists. I must also give you the heads up, Dee, because my provider runs out in about 7 minutes, so I'm just giving you the heads up now. But
Here's what we're going to do. I want people, we're going to have to do this again. I'm glad that you have been able to just come on.
I'm loving it.
And yes, and talk about just how you've overcome, you know, your divorce and just moving on. But it sounds like to me that you've already been on the move, that there was just one process of elimination you had to go through. So
I've been through more than one, but I mean this was the big one, and you know that's I feel really fortunate. Sometimes growth involves pain. That's why they're called growing pains.
I totally agree. And you speak four different languages. Wow. You French
not
and Spanish.
Not very well. I do, not very well. Don't get me speaking Spanish on the call. You can get me speaking sign language on the call because no one will see me.
Oh, yeah. We know where to find you. Well, listen, I don't want our show to just end. I understand that you are calling international, so I appreciate that. I did inquire to see how I can call you, and we're going to have to make it work where we can get you on and you can stay on the show a little longer. I want to talk about skincare. I want to talk about Arbonne. Real quick, if anyone's interested, I noticed that you do some online coaching. How can they reach you or get in contact with you? And I think I'll also put it on the page.
The number one easiest way is to email me. And my email is cjosias, J-O-S-I-A-S, @mac.com. I don't know if you have a place where you post.
I do. It's
like
on
this.
Your page, right? It's on the post right now. It's on there. So you
can
get it.
You can also contact me through LinkedIn. Just drop me a message, although that could be a little bit more difficult if we're not connected. So, cjosias@mac.com. And, you know, very happy to hop on. I use a platform which probably most of the world is familiar with now, Zoom, because
right.
it's very easy to, then you can see the person and they can see me. And honestly, I
wouldn't
just,
do good on Zoom.
I love it.
I'm kind of private. I don't, my house, I have papers and I'm just writing and I'm just like, something would just be out of order for me, but I do want to, we will talk about that. Maybe I'll do it with you sometime. Not so much
yeah.
Bruce, but I do want to just thank you, and we're going to have you come on and just talk about Orbán at some point. I will make sure that your link, the link that you sent me is sent out. Now, is that Zoom too, the Orbán presentations?
Orbán, I usually do, I can send people a presentation if people want to get in touch with me about that. For me, that was kind of my exit strategy when I, you know, when I left my relationship. It was a great transition because we have such a great culture and community in our business, and the people are, everyone lifts everyone else up, probably.
Amen.
Like your church.
Well, you know what? I don't go to church as much as I used to, but I got one more important question just because I want to know, how are you guys doing there with the in terms of how has the COVID affected the UK? Are you guys doing well? I mean, is your economy up and going, or I'm just...
Our economy is in really bad shape, but I think, as you will know, because you're a believer, there are
yep.
reasons for everything, and I believe this, that we as humans can make this a turning point by the way we behave through this crisis and what we choose to do with it. Are we going to stop polluting the planet? Are we going to reach out to our neighbors? Are we going to create an environment of love and camaraderie, or are we going to continue with this wanton destruction of the planet?
Amen.
And it sounds strict, but, you know, man,
nope.
That's where
I'm agree.
At.
I agree with you 100%. We have to, hey, I'm on board with you. Thank you so much for just being, coming on the show today, and it's just been a joy and an honor to just be in your company. So you keep up the good work. I think.
Big love to you, Dee, for asking me on.
You're amazing, and I want you to don't stop being who you are, because you're absolutely right. You're saying let's just give to the universe what we want the universe to give back to us. So being a
yeah.
believer, I think you can sum up what I meant by that. So
yes,
thank you
exactly.
so much for joining
All right,
me.
Lots of love to you.
Lush the love back, and you take care, stay safe. We will be praying, and we're going to make this happen, okay? We're going to make it happen.
For sure.
So
For
we're
sure.
going to stay there. Thank you so much, dear, and we'll be in touch. I will be sending this to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Program.
Bye for now.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Guys, that was Corey Josias in the UK. She joined us today. I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation. She had to go. If you know someone who's going through some issues and problems or just needs someone to talk to, give her a call. I put her information on our page. And you know what, guys? I don't know if you missed our birthday celebration on the 20th, but... make sure, I'm going to put it out there again so y'all can, hey, it's fire. Let me just tell you right now, if y'all have ever listened to our playlist, it is fire. All you got to do is just chill. And, of course, we've got some nice episodes and programs and all that good stuff. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening. Make sure you have a fantastic Friday, and we're going to make this happen in our lives. That's right.